afternoon, everybody. It's another Tuesday. Sorry for the late start. You know, they say Mercury's in retrograde, and sometimes that affects some of our computer systems. And notwithstanding, I think that we had a little infection today. But we want to welcome everybody to Where Genealogy and Spirit Connect. And I want to just kind of comment on one fact that seems to be prevalent these days for me. And this fact is the more and more and more I do research for other people, the more and more I am finding out that genealogy may be the healer of all time. And this is going to be a part of my discussions moving forward on our shows. But, you know, if you haven't started in genealogy or you are into genealogy, you know, if you want to heal, you still have to do the work or have somebody else do it for you, for that matter. But the key is to know where the sources are that you need to go. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today because we have a really special guest all the way from Israel. And we're going to be talking about all of the tools of the trade that are available on MyHeritage.com. My guest today is Daniel Horowitz. Welcome, Daniel.
Thank you very much, Susan. It's a pleasure for me to be here today with you.
Well, it is a pleasure for me to have you. You have a background in computer sciences and education, as I see. And, you know, his background really goes far-reaching. He was born in Caracas, Venezuela, and he's been the founder and member and lecturer of the Jewish Genealogical Society of Venezuela. He's also on the board of the International Association of Jewish Genealogical Societies and actually the genealogy and translation manager at MyHeritage.com. So for a young man like you...
Yes, that keeps my life very busy.
Yes, I can imagine it does. You know, it was interesting. I was doing some calculations here, Daniel, and it looks like your involvement in genealogy came at an age just about similar to when mine started. So I have about 30 years on you. So I'm kind of curious, just for grins, how you got interested in genealogy before we get into all the other stuff.
Well, I did start very, very young, and basically I heard all the stories from my grandparents about their life, and that's what motivated me to investigate more. And eventually you have to come to a family tree, which is the basic tool to do genealogy, and there you go. And besides that, I was called to be a teacher at the Hebrew school in Venezuela for a Hebrew history class, and I decided to take a small part of that class that involved family search and make that a complete year study program. And that was what really kicked me into genealogy and to teach genealogy also.
Fascinating. So let's talk about your employer and MyHeritage.com. They have pretty much zoomed onto the market over the last 3, 4, or 5 years. I've lost track. And have become one of the largest genealogical sites on the Internet. So, little history.
That's right, Susan. MyHeritage started in 2003. It was established in 2003 and went online in 2005 for the first time. I went into the team in 2006 after a genealogy conference where I met Gilad Jafet, the CEO and the head of all this project and all this company called MyHeritage. And I am enjoying very, very much working, providing all these tools, and most of them actually free tools, to help people doing the research and connecting between families.
And, you know, just to educate our listeners, too, the site is not geared to just Jewish genealogy, correct?
Not at all. Not at all. We have in one of our oldest tools which is the genealogy search. We're searching in more than 1,500 genealogy databases, and only a very small amount of those are dedicated to Jewish genealogy.
So how does that work? Well, I know how it works, but why don't you explain to the audience how how it works? I know the front end and the back end, I'm afraid, but how exactly does that work for a new
user? Very, very easy. Let's start first with one person in your family that you want to research. And you may know a little bit of that person, but you want to get more information. And you don't want to start subscribing to any website or finding yourself digging into censuses and all kind of resources that they are out there. So you simply go into MyHeritage, into the genealogy part, and we have over there a searcher, as I said, the genealogy search, where you put the name and the last name of the person that you would like to research. Of course, you have advanced options also where you can put the date of birth and the date of death, if you have that information, or the places where the people was born or dead, if you have that information. But if not, it's fine just with one name and one last name. And then we will run the search for you in more than 1,500 databases. And this includes almost every kind of databases, census records, marriage records, criminal records also. You will surprise how many family you find over there, but it's true. I mean, you never know where you will find family and well, you will find siblings. So you should check for every of those databases. And this saves you a lot of time because instead of going into each database, you simply wait a couple of minutes and we, on the spot, we start bringing you results from the different databases. And then you can leave our searcher running and start reviewing those results. And going straight into not only the database, but the page where the result was found. So you don't have to lose any time with it. Now, as I said, this is not only completely free, but you don't have even to register in MyHeritage. If you want to use our Megadex search, which lets me explain that we have in the genealogy search, you can search exact, which is as you type, you can use Soundex, and for those users that are not completely familiarized with the Soundex, it means that we take the first letter of the last name and then we convert according to a methodology, we convert the rest of the letters to numbers, which is really problematic because if you have a last name like mine, which is Horowitz, and what happened with the last name with the Russian pronunciation become Gurevich with a G, then the Soundex is completely different. So you will be missing some results if you do a Soundex search. So MyHeritage developed a Megadex search, which takes in account not only pronunciation, but also a lot of examples that we get from all the information from our users. And you can even propose different spellings for the last name that you are looking for. So it's much, much accurate, and only for that particular search, then you need to register in MyHeritage. And again, it's only a registration, and it's completely free.
It is fascinating. I've actually been using it on a lot of my research that I've been doing, and it has led me to some places I probably would never have thought I would go. So it is interesting, and I have been playing around with it most recently. So we have that, and that is really a great tool because at some point a lot of people just, they know about Ancestry.com, for example, or WorldVitalRecords.com or Footnote.com, and they'll go there and they'll register and they'll search and may or may not come up with anything. So, you know, for those who are really just researching their own families, this is just an incredible place to start. You may eventually end up on those other sites that I just mentioned, but, you know, at least you know that there may be some records there for you when you get there. So, you know, it's really an incredible tool. And I do remember going back when you all were first developing that tool very well. So, in any event, that's one. Now, what about some of the others?
Well, if you are already registered with MyHeritage, my strong suggestion will be to build a family tree, either online or with our software Family Tree Builder, which is also free. And the reason for this is because you will start activating some of the tools that will help basically everybody to discover more people, to improve your research, and to connect with family. For example, if you use our software, the Family Tree Builder, every time you type in a person on your family tree, we run a search on the background with all the 7 million family trees that we have in our database, and we try to match that person with another family tree. Which means that if somebody else has it on their family tree also, you may be related. That's what we call smart matching. Now, it is obviously very, very hard to do one by one. So if you publish your family tree on the website, then we will run the smart match all over your tree, and you will receive by email and notice of all the people that we found from your tree in other trees. And we will give you also the way to contact the administrator of the other tree, which may be related to you or is investigating the same branch you are doing, so you can start contacting him and sharing information.
You know, and I want to just point some things out to our audience too, because a lot of our people are not genealogists. A lot of them are interested and want to get started. But one of the things that I wanted to point out, when you do start on genealogy, and the real important part of matching up trees, is that things and information are passed down on lateral lines, so to speak. And I can always give this example, and I'm sure Daniel has a couple examples that he can give as well. And that is that... you know, my family never knew my direct immediate family, and my father and his four brothers, our three brothers and sister, never knew where the family came from. And it was connecting with a second and third cousin who basically had some of that information that we didn't have. So making connections, and even the further the connection is, the more likely sometimes you may actually find information that you don't have. And I think that that's very important. And before we go any more, Daniel, I do want to give out our toll-free number, which I forgot to do because we were running a little behind. But we do not have an end time until we just get tired of talking with you guys. So I want to give out that number. We will take calls if you do have questions. And that number is 1-888-815-9756. That's toll-free anywhere in the world. And let's move on. So now we have our family tree, and you're doing, you know, connections with all the other 700,000.
7 million trees. Yes. Right now we have 33 million members on MyHeritage, and there are a lot of names in our database, and I really hope that all our audience will really try this, and we will have what we, the genealogists, call the aha moment, because it's very, very touching when you are typing the name of a relative, or when suddenly you go through your email and then you have an email from MyHeritage saying that we just found somebody that may be related to you. And then you get bite for that small bug of the genealogy, and you want to go and research that person, and you want to know more about it, and you want to connect with this other guy that may have more information on the branch of your family that you are researching. And a very important piece of all this family getting together, it's pictures. And we take very special care about images and documents, audios, every type of media. But especially with pictures, we use on our website face recognition. And it's the same technology that every airport in every country has to detect the people that they're passing through the borders and try to detect the terrorists. That same technology is what we are putting in our users' hands. Of course, it's not as accurate, and we don't have a database like all the governments. But if it's even better than Facebook, because I'm pretty sure that everybody who's hearing us has a Facebook account and knows that every time you upload a picture, you can tag a picture by saying who appears on that photo. And then what happens is that you have a small rectangle in one corner of the picture, and you have to drag it to say where is exactly the person that you want to tag. Well, here we go a little bit further than that, and we tell you exactly where are the faces of the people. So we already prepared all the pictures that you upload, and we group all the faces that we detect are from the same people, and you have only to tag them once. And here I have a couple of suggestions for those who are really interested into it. The first suggestion would be to upload or to do first their family tree, because then it's much, much easier to tag the people, because you will have a list. As you type the name of the person, you will have a list of the people in your family tree that match the names you are tagging. The second suggestion will be, and not to commit the same mistake I did the first time, to upload 800 pictures, especially with all the pictures that we have from weddings, graduations, school time, where you have a thousand of faces in the same picture. That would really make a mess of your tagging. But if you start slowly with groups of pictures where only one or two people appear, then the software will start learning the faces of the people. And what is going to happen, that the next time you upload pictures, we will suggest you that maybe this one is your father or is your uncle that you already tagged. And you only have to tag it once, and then you're tagging all the pictures at once. And this is very important also because, first of all, we already eliminate the reference like Uncle Sam was the second row and the third, he was sitting next to the, you know, lamp and things like that, that nobody knows who we are talking about. Because if you see the picture and you hover with the mouse, you go with the mouse over the picture, immediately you will see a square around the face, and you will see the name of the person which we are talking about. And why I say this is very important, because we can also write comments for every picture. And I'm pretty sure that not only genealogy, but everybody has this old picture with people that they don't know anything about it. So it's so simple to upload in the website, to invite some of our families and ask a question. Somebody knows who these people are, who somebody knows something about this picture, when it was taken. So everybody will receive a message and will collaborate with you. So it's not only a work from one person and everybody enjoying. You invite people to your family side, everybody collaborates, and everybody shares experience, everybody shares information. And that's one of the biggest key for MyHeritage right now.
And the other thing, too, I think what I've noticed, Daniel, is your audience is pretty much all over the world. I would.
Well, as the genealogy and translation manager, I have to make sure that we cover all over, not only the world, basically. We right now, our website and our software is translated in 36 languages, and I think that we're very pretty much covered with that. And I have to thanks to a lot of volunteers, because we have, of course, our translation team in-house, but much of the strange language, and I'm sorry to call them like that, but we're translated into almost every Asiatic country. We have Malay, we have Norwegian, we have Persian, Polish, Hungarian, Danish, Korean, Greek. All that translation is made by volunteers. So I want to take this opportunity to send a big, big thank you to all those people involved in translating not only the website, but also the software.
That's phenomenal. One of the things that I noticed, and I just want to point this out, that, you know, if you are searching family in other countries, you know, this may indeed be a good source to go because of the broad base of their users, which for all over Europe and Eastern Europe and even China and Japan, from what I could see, and in large numbers. So, you know, this is, you know, a very important place to start. Now, you know, let's qualify this a little bit, Daniel. I mean, you do not have any data records online independent of the of letting people do a search and taking them to where the other data sources are. Is that correct?
I didn't understand quite good question.
If someone is doing research, you don't have databases and census records and vital records or any of those kinds of records online.
No. The only database that we handle is the family trees that people either build online or upload with a JETCOM, which is the standard format to bring family trees from one place to the other or from one software to the other, or the people who works with our software, the family tree builder. Those are the only records that we handle.
Right. So, you know, for the genealogists, and Daniel is a genealogist, you know, there are two phases of doing research. Number one is your connections and connecting with other family members and connecting with other people who are researching your family. And the other side of it is actually the hardcore research, where you have to dig into online resources, which could be anything from Ancestry.com to Godfrey Library, World Archives, Footnotes, and hundreds of other sources. Jewish Gen, for example, if you're doing Jewish research, Italian Gen, if you're doing Italian research. These are the places where the actual records reside, where you can actually go in and document what you find from other people's research. Now, Daniel, going back to family trees, and I think this is important because, as you probably know and as I know, you know, a lot of people will find connections and they'll copy the data and they don't verify it or question it or whatever. And, you know, I just want to make sure that people understand that, you know, the most important thing is, you know, when you get information from other places, you know, that you do your own due diligence to verify the data and to make corrections, which I know are probably being done when people collaborate on your site. And, you know, to do really the you know, to get into genealogy the right way is all I guess I want to say. There's, you know, there are two parts of this puzzle. Number one is connections. Number two is research. And those are very, very important things for anybody getting started.
Susan, let me tell you only two things regarding those two points, which are very, very important also. Every time that you're using the software, the Family Tree Builder, and you find a match, you can see part of the other tree, and you can see the information that you are getting. And why I'm saying that you are getting, because once you establish that it is a valid connection and it is really the person that you have on your family tree, you are able to bring that information from the second tree into your tree. Now, this can be very dangerous, of course, because as you said, you never know exactly the source that the other person used to do their research. So the first thing that you obviously should do is get in contact with the other person and ask the other person where he got the information. If he did his job as he should, it should be a source citation, and you should see a note where he brought that information into his tree. And all that is passing also to your tree, including a note that will take you back to the source, which in this case is the other tree, in case that later on you want to keep researching that person. Now, I know that a lot of people that are not genealogists may be a little bit concerned because we're talking about personal information going back and forth through members and through the internet. And let me explain to you very, very shortly that MyHeritage takes very, very seriously privatization. We will only release information of dead people or of living people in case that we are completely sure that is the same person in your tree than in the other tree. In fact, if you will try to go into anybody's website on MyHeritage, you will see all the living individuals tagged as private and then the last name. Only members of that site can see information about living individuals. Now, if I have a match with a particular person, I will see all the information of that person, but I will not see information of siblings or brothers or, children, parents, if they are alive. So eventually you will have to go to the other person, you will have to identify yourself, and you can do that also through MyHeritage without revealing your email address even, because you are a user and he is a user, and it would be inside a communication without revealing any personal detail. So we are taking privacy very, very seriously, and we try to help you with the research. Now, with the second issue about the research, and you're completely right, you have to go to the source of the information, and there are a lot of sites and database. But the ones that you're mentioning, or the one that you can Google it by the word genealogy, as you said, Ancestry, Family Search, Footnote, all the biggest ones, we took those 100 databases, and we put it into a tool that you have in the software, which is called the Family Research. And what this does is take your family tree, and this obviously takes a little bit of time, and my recommendation is to leave it at least during the night. We take every piece of information that you put into your family tree, and we compare to the databases that they are on the internet with these 100, a little bit more than 100 repositories, huge repositories of information. And we will give you a list of the places where we found possible matches. So it means that if you have somebody that is listed in any census that Ancestry or Footnote or any other big repository has, you will be notified in a couple of hours or days. Okay, so this is what I call doing research on pajamas. And this is very important. You run the program, you ask for a complete research of a particular person or your whole tree, you go to sleep, when you wake up, you already digged into more than 100 databases, and you go straight to the results. You go straight to the page of the census if it's free information, if it's freely for non-subscribers of Ancestry or Family Search. If it's available for free, you will see the information and you will see everything, as you will go straight to the website itself and you will dig and you will do the research over there.
You know, I haven't tried that.
You have to.
I think I do.
You will discover sources of information that you cannot imagine. And I'm talking about obituaries that you never thought you will have, pictures of tombstones. Right now, this is one of a subject that it's very, very hot on genealogy. People is taking pictures of every cemetery and is digitalizing all the index of cemeteries, and you can have birth, marriage, death records, almost every record right now. You can have it in the internet. It's very, very interesting.
Now, let me ask you a question, because it raises a few. If I've got my data in another software program, all I need to do is export it to a GEDCOM, correct?
That's correct, and then you can import it into the website or into the software, as you would like.
So I could use the software without posting it onto the website?
Yes. You only have to download it from MyHeritage, and you install it in your computer, and you don't have to publish it. You can just work over there and put as many people as you want in your computer.
Interesting. I'm sure you don't want to see my 41,000 names in my particular database.
Well, let me tell you that I thought that my 7,000 people were a lot. But we have huge family trees, and they are published. And the reason that they are published is because people want to get the family the smart match, as I said, that we can only do it when you publish. And it's not a thing that you get only once, because every time somebody submit a new tree, we take your tree as part of the database and we will keep notifying you about new matches. But also as a backup, a lot of people are giving us, you know, thank yous and blessings, because computers, they crash. And hard disk can crash and information can be erased from the computer. But if you publish into MyHeritage, into a website, even if you set your website completely private, and you can do that, you can set your website that nobody can see any piece of information, any picture or anything without your authorization, giving them a user and a password to go into the website, is just for backup purposes. And really, really, let me tell you, everybody over there, I'm pretty sure that if we run a poll right now, when was the last time you did a backup? Yeah, that was long time ago. And we are always have on our agenda to do a backup tomorrow. And I know that by experience, but tomorrow may be too late. So it's really worth to have a backup of this research.
Absolutely. And I don't know how many calls or requests you get a day for restoring, but I know once upon a time in one of my previous lives, we would get regular requests that, you know, I sent you my information and now I can't, now I've lost everything. So, in any event, yeah, it's a great backup, tool. So, if you were to say, you know, I guess the biggest specialty area that MyHeritage.com has, what would you say that would be?
Well,
I mean, you've talked about
The big picture. Yes. No, but the big picture is connecting people. Connecting people through the family tree, connecting people through the website, connecting people through the pictures, images, trying to connecting people. And specifically for that, Susan, I have to tell everybody that we have another tool, another free tool.
I was going to ask you next. You're reading my mind.
Yeah, I have a little bit of that also. This is where spirit and genealogy connect, right?
There you go. Yes.
Yeah,
you got it.
We came with a toolbar, which is like, I'm pretty sure everybody knows Google Toolbar and other Babylon Toolbar, and almost every software or every website today has a toolbar that you can install on your website, on your browser. But this particular one, it has family importance, because on that toolbar, you will be able to chat with your family straight. You will see exactly which members of your family are connected, and you can do the chat via text, sound, as we are doing now, or video chat, video conferencing. You also will have the inbox right there, so if somebody writes you an email to the MyHeritage account, you will be notified immediately. A little bit more important than that, you will have events, a reminder, an alert about events, and this is very, very important for all of us that don't remember the wife birthday or the anniversary. So you will be remembered a couple of days before the event, so you will not miss any other birthday. And you will get access also to your websites, and you can have them as many websites as you like in MyHeritage. And, of course, a search that it's embedded into that bar. And that search is a very special search because it works more or less like Google, but it has a genealogy way of looking for people. So if you type the name of the person, we will bring you all the results that normally Google will bring you in any search, but we will also bring you the results from those databases that there are out there. We are merging here the genealogy search with the regular search, and you will see exactly information about the person that you are looking for. It's a very cool tool. And as I said, very, very important to keep families together, to keep people in contact. That is one of the main goals of MyHeritage right now.
And it is so fascinating. And you know, our society has gotten to a point where we get so separated. I mean, look at you. You're, you know, moved from Caracas to Israel. And, you know, our families, we've got people and families all over the world today. I mean, we have a global environment and a global society. And, you know, it really, Marshall McLuhan, was that his name? I think way before your time, that the media is the message or the medium is the message. We've kind of gone way past that in our whole internet presence and our communications tools. It's fascinating and overwhelming. I know that, I don't know about you, Daniel, but, you know, I've been Facebooking it and Twittering, and, you know, I get to a point where I can't keep up with it all. So.
Yeah, we have too many ways of connecting and communicating one with each other. And I just can tell you by my own experience, I have been last month in the States a little bit for work and a little bit for vacation, and we went with the whole family to a summer camp, which is very normal over there in the States. And of course, in summer camp, you don't have internet and you don't have computer. So I went only for a weekend, and I was almost getting crazy for not being able to communicate, to check my emails. Of course, today everybody also has a BlackBerry or have an iPhone, so they can get emails through the phone, but I don't have one. So what happened is that after that weekend of supposedly peace and calm, I have to get back to my computer and find out that I have 120 emails to read and to catch up. I have about 3 pages of Facebook and Twitter notes that I have to read. And it's very different. It's not how it used to be for our parents or our grandparents. I remember that for calling to a different country, you have to call the operator and you have to ask the number, and she will let you wait for minutes before she can connect the call. Right now, it's amazing that how we can be in 2 different corners of the world having a conference, and I'm pretty sure that people all over the world, Australia, China, Hawaii, everybody is listening to this program, and we are live. It's amazing.
It really is. It is amazing, and it really gives everybody an opportunity to learn and get more information and to do it in a totally different way than we've been used to. I'm at a point in my career where my eyes are. Yeah, I've got 3 pairs of glasses I have to go through every day just to keep, just to be able to see the screen. So, being able to sit back, listen, shut my eyes, and still learn something, it's kind of, for us old folks, I guess I've kind of reached that level here, is actually kind of nice. My question to you before you mentioned that was the future of MyHeritage.com. And again, if there's anybody out there that has any questions for Daniel, the toll-free number is 1-888, that's 3 8s in a row, 815-9756. So the future of MyHeritage, I'm sure it takes quite a bit of effort and energy to keep up with these 1,500 or so databases and all the new ones that are coming online regularly so that things don't time out or the URLs haven't changed. And just staying abreast of what appears to be an incredible growth of information and data. Anything on the horizon that you might be willing to share, or are we too early for that?
No, it's my pleasure. Actually, we just released a couple of weeks ago the last version of the Family Tree Builder, the software, and we are continuously working to improve our website and our technologies. One of the last improvements we did to the software, and this is just the start of it, we add a mapping tool that allows you to pinpoint the different places where your family have been or facts that you record that happened in your family, and you can see how your family, and this is part of what we have been talking for the last couple of minutes about the globalization. People used to move from country to country, so you have a very nice map of all the world, and you can search for a particular family and trace the family back. But we want to do more than that. We want to work a little bit more with maps and give you a more flexibility, not only by showing the places, but to do a lot of other what I call tricks with the map, and then try to print better maps, better reports, which are very, very important. Right now we have a certain amount of reports, and we are working to improve that because although almost everybody, as I said today, has a BlackBerry or a phone, that it can also have your family tree over there, it's very, very difficult to do research, to go to an event or to a library and to access your actual data if you don't have a laptop. And in some places, you are not allowed to go into with your laptop, or you don't have internet connection. So we will always go back to the print report and the pen and paper, and you will have to start writing. So we are improving also the part of the reports. And for sure, as you said, all the amount of information, the databases that every day are released on the website. For example, we're trying to put a little bit of fun also into genealogy. MyHeritage has a tool which it really has nothing to do with genealogy, but it's very cool, that allows you to do matching between somebody and a celebrity, okay? And that includes also morphing between the two faces, between the celebrity and the person from the picture. And we're trying to give that part of fun to bring it into the genealogy. we're trying to look how we can do that and how people will enjoy more the pictures and the videos that they are uploading every day into the website.
You know, that's pretty interesting because, you know, I know that as long as I can remember, you know, that I've heard people say that, you know, my grandchild, you know, his baby picture just looks just like my father's baby picture. And, you know, that would be an interesting thing to be able to do, is to really be able to compare through that kind of technology, that kind of information.
Well, for that particular, we do have a tool, which is the lookalike meter. And what you normally do is you upload a picture from the both parents and from the kid, and we will try to evaluate the three images and tell you who the kid resembles more, if to the father or to the mother. But if we can also find a celebrity that it resembles to you, and I'm pretty sure that a lot of the audience go to the street and people say, oh, you know, but you look very similar to this guy. Are you this actor or this actress? And this is a little bit of the fun of dealing with pictures, with images, and with face recognition. And, of course, also into the reports or the family tree. We're trying to do this as easy as we can, not only for genealogists, but also for all those people out there that they're right now they're sitting and said, I'm not a genealogist, I don't know what to do, I don't know where to go, but I have somebody in my family that he is the genealogist of the family. He's the one that is keeping all the records. How can I get in contact with him? How can I take his information or give him more information? How can I collaborate with him? This is the main goal, trying to bring families closer and try to improve the communication between families. That's basically our main goal right now and where we are focusing all the batteries.
Okay. You know, I'm sitting here thinking how I've had a lot of clients with Native American ancestry or who are looking for Native American ancestry. And I'm sitting here thinking, you know, wouldn't it be kind of cool if there is some way that between the DNA testing and the pictures that, you know, you could really do some incredible, wow,
I'm pretty sure the DNA, which is a field that we are not
right.
touching in particular, but we had an agreement and we had a partnership with Family Tree DNA, which is
sure.
one of the companies. You have also 23andMe or the same people of the ancestry. DNA, it's one of the fields that I'm pretty sure is going to advance a lot of the research that we are doing. The only problem that I see is that you need another sample to compare with. And
right.
that is the main problem. And I get a lot of requests of people trying, not under MyHeritage, but under the Genealogy Association, which I'm a member of. And people are trying to deal with this new subject, which is DNA, and how can we test, and how can I find somebody that will have the DNA of the person, of the ancestor that I'm looking, because I don't want to look into my own DNA. I want to look in my great-great-great-great-grandfather's DNA. And he passed that into different generations, and depends if it was a male or a female.
Sure.
But I'm pretty sure that that's one of the ways that genealogy will develop and will help us very, very much to find relatives.
Well, and it already has. I mean, you know, it's been out there, I think, now, I hate to say it, about 9 years at least since I first started getting involved with the DNA testing for genealogy. But, you know, you've got both the physical DNA, the DNA, the you know, and then you've got the pictures of the people. And, you know, I can just see some, you know, morphing of matching DNA people with pictures. I'm just seeing that, so maybe somebody will pick up on it.
I'm pretty sure we will get there.
Yeah. Well, I just think there might be an opportunity there for your face recognition and the DNA is to put the two together. I think that might be a very fascinating, interesting move. And, you know, specifically, you know, there are some of us who don't have any idea of what our ancestors look like. You know, and I think I've mentioned this on my show many a time, that my mother was an adopted child. And, you know, I have no clue. And, you know, just recently, and it's really also very fascinating, is that I've been in touch over many, many years ago, probably 20-some-odd years ago, with an individual researching my father's line, my paternal line, and he just got his DNA tested, and lo and behold, he matched on my maternal line. So, oops.
Oops.
So anyway, we're trying to find that connection, but it's also it's very intriguing and very interesting, and which really is what genealogy is all about to me. It's just that it's just a fascinating field, not only for those of us who are in the field, both on the technological side or the research side, but you know, for those who are researching their families. And, you know, it's interesting, too, and we're talking about, Daniel, I think we've been talking about doing your family tree, and for a lot of people out there, it's not really getting involved in doing a whole family tree. It's maybe just finding an answer to one question. For example, you know, if somebody's ancestor or parent or someone may have committed suicide or had some tragic experience, that a lot of people, and I experience this a lot in my practice, is that, you know, they're really just interested in wrapping their arms around, you know, that certain information. You know, who were they? What were they like? What was going on? What caused them to perhaps do something like this? And, you know, maybe the families, you know, had schisms put in between different parts, and they just want to connect, they want to heal. And, you know, in so doing, you know, no matter what, you know, the whole process of genealogy, whether it's finding that one little piece of information that will give you peace of mind, and maybe the healing that you may need to get over, and you know, something tragic like that. You know, these tools are what we use as tools of the trade, and they're very, very, very important. And you know, a lot of people aren't into doing the genealogy as you and I are, Daniel. They're really looking to solve a mystery or, you know, get an answer. And you know, the more and more we have companies like MyHeritage.com and, you know, Ancestry.com and all the other ones that are out there that, you know, really give us the tools that we need to break down some barriers. Truth be told, you know, life is so different for us today than it was when I first started 28 years ago. I had to add a year, Daniel, because I had to add a year.
let me tell you, Susan, and I was hearing the other day the podcast, I think it was about the interview you had a couple of days ago with Alexander Bider about the book.
Yes.
The book he wrote. And I agree with you. I mean, especially to all those newbies to genealogy or to all those who are looking for an answer. And I know that a lot of people don't want to, as we said, jump into the pool because they are afraid of what they can find. And everybody has to understand that every family has their skeletons and the closet and the ghost and the spirits that surrounds the families. And they are waiting just for that. They are waiting for us to do the research to get to them and to make the story public and to make this, the record straight. I believe at least that everybody that passed through the life wants to be remembered on the best possible way. And genealogy is a way to do that, to bring real meaning for the life of the person. And everybody will find secrets and everybody will find lies on their families. And that's normal because we're talking about real people. It's not computers, bolts and nuts from robots that they do the same thing every day and every day. So you don't have to be afraid.
No, you don't. And part of the thing that I think is so important for people to understand is, and you know, and I agree with you, and in fact, my guest next week, and I'm going to throw this out, is actually a psychic medium, and she is one that knows how to bring these people to us to get questions answered. And I see, you know, when brick walls fail, there are other possibilities that we might be able to use. We're going to run some tests next week. But the spirits are with us, and I think that those who've listened to some of my other shows about our ancestors are in our bones. We carry within us our cellular memory, all this information. And sometimes, and the healing comes, I think, from digging in, finding the truth, accepting the truth, forgiving the person, and remembering them as a human being, you know, who came on this earth just as we have. You know, birth is a beginning, death is a destination, life is a journey. We all take our journey a little bit differently. And I think that it's so important to understand that there isn't an individual that walks in the face of the earth that hasn't, you know, taken these three steps. So it is a way to honor them. Despite the good, and the bad, and, you know, to clear yourself from these things that may haunt you or I mentioned at the beginning of the show that I think genealogy can be the healer of all times. And I said that because I've just finished working with a client who had probably one of the most horrific stories, backgrounds that I've ever heard. And it was probably one of the most emotional, challenging cases I have ever taken on. Genealogically speaking, Daniel, it was a piece of cake. Okay?
The problem is the story that is behind that family tree, for sure.
It was. And we culminated and put the seal on that case just last night, and there is a family that's been connected after God only knows how many years, 50, 60 years, maybe longer, because of the tragedies and the schisms between the families. And, you know, it gives me great pride, and I believe that you know, my client even said to me last night, he says, you know, when I went to your website and I saw, you know, your site and it said where genealogy and spirit connect, you know, I asked you, were you a genealogist or were you a healer? And you said you were a genealogist, and I am. But he said, you've pretty much proven to me that the healing qualities of genealogy under these circumstances are absolutely incredible, what I feel and how I feel tonight. So for those of you who have not ventured out, it is a healing process, and you will be amazed, I think, at the clearing that you'll see in both your lives and the lives of your descendants and your other family members. And, you know, they say, Daniel, and I don't know about your family, but there's usually one in every family who's the rebel who wants to go out and break down, you know, all these, you know, skeletons and get rid of everything so that we can have, you know, great, clear, forward lives from here on out. So I take it you're one of the rebels, as I have been.
Yeah, well, I tried to do my part, and a part of it, and let me please share just one experience with all the audience, because I really think that this is the perfect place to do that. And I don't know if my father is listening, but he will do eventually the podcast for sure. He thinks that I'm crazy because I don't do vacation without visiting a cemetery. And cemetery is one of the greatest places to find information about people.
Exactly.
First of all, they don't move. They are already there and they will be there. So that's a fixed spot. But besides that, you can learn so much by reading the tombstone of the people that you couldn't see or you couldn't meet in life. And it's very rewarding to find the tombstones of people that you never knew, and probably people on your family also didn't care. And here I have to share something which is very, very funny but very useful. And I just discovered this last August when I was in Philadelphia in the IJGS convention that I'm not the only one that does this. And this is the funny part. We were speaking about how we do research in cemeteries and how we found the tombstones and what happened after 3 hours that you have a particular and precise location of a tombstone, but you are, you know, going around and around and you don't find it. So we were a couple of people, you know, chatting about different methods, and I said, you know what? Usually what I do is I say the name of the person loud. And I say, the name of the person, let me find your grave. And I have just to give another quick look around, and I just see it right next to me. And, of course, I don't share with everybody, but, you know, people think, yeah, you're crazy, you're talking with dead people in a cemetery, they're going to, you know, raise the hand and say, hey, I'm here. Of course they're not. I'm not the only one that's doing that. And
no, you're
sure
not. You're not. And I'm
right.
Sure.
A lot of people should be laughing because they do exactly the same thing. And if you don't do it, try it. If you have any problem trying to find any plot or any tombstone and you know that the place is there, just ask for it and you will get it. The spirits are there. They want to be reached. And it's a very rewarding the part of the genealogy where you connect people, as you said, even if it's with dead people. I brought pictures of tombstones from different parts of the world, from different people in my family. And when you see the faces of the relatives that says, oh, you know what? I never saw his tombstone. And it's very, very nice. People really get in touch with this person, at least spiritually, and it's very rewarding for the person like you and me that they are doing those connections.
It is. And, you know, I want to share my funny story with you because I do the same thing, and I'm just laughing here. And sorry I interrupted you because I do cemeteries, too, and I have always done cemeteries. And I remember I was up in New York with my father, and we were looking for my great-great-grandfather's brother. And we were in, you know, the cemetery in Queens, and, I mean, it just went on forever and ever and ever. There was no record of him in the office, so we just headed off in a direction. And at the time, my father was not feeling so, you know, really terrific. And you know, after a couple hours of this, you know, he's starting to get a little, let's see, a little jacket, yeah. You know. And with this, I'm getting frustrated because, I mean, you know, I don't often get to New York and out to Queens in a car where I could just spend the time. So, you know, I stood, you know, on one of the pathways, and I just took a deep breath, and I, you know, called out his name, and I go running up this little mound, and I trip, and I fall. And I fall face down on a slab. Guess whose it was? And I push my hand, I push myself, you know, my face up with my hands, and I am looking straight down at his name. And, I mean, you know, it is amazing what you can do. I mean, you've got to tune in. But they're tuning into us all the time, and I know they're tuning into this show. So they're around us, and they want to be around us, and I think it's important that we honor them. And I think that all the genealogists and the people in the, you know, that are doing genealogy really are doing that, and the spiritual value and the healing value that they will find from doing this kind of work, I think, over a period of time is going to be very, very rewarding. And I am so glad that you were here. I am so glad that you shared some of these stories. I am so glad I know a little bit more about MyHeritage.com than I did. And I do want to thank you for coming to us via the airwaves all the way from Israel. So in any event, I want to thank Daniel Horowitz for being my guest. You need to go to www.myheritage.com, and you can see all the fascinating things that they've done. My website is www.susaneking.com, and it in no way duplicates anything that they're doing. It's, you know, mine is really more of a here's my radio show and kind of thing. But in any event, I'm Susan King, and I thank you for being with us today.
Thank you very, very much, Susan. It was really an honor for me. I had a wonderful time, and actually this is my first radio interview through the Internet, so we get to a couple of first times here. And I really would like everybody to try MyHeritage and all the tools and to share with us what they think and what they need so we can work and we can develop new tools for everybody. Thank you very, very much, Susan.
Thank you, Daniel.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.